if I knew that I wanted to be in the trades, I don't feel we're doing a good enough job of giving some type of resources to kids, unless you're in some sort of vocational school, tech school of some sort, but standard school. How do we fix that? What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, I think that's $1 million question that now we're all playing catch up with. From our perspective at Explore the Trades, we want to help fill that knowledge gap for a lot of people, whether it's students or parents, educators, whoever that might be. To your point about if I'm in high school and I'm really interested in welding or I'm really interested in carpentry, whatever that vocation is, whatever that trade is, I think it's the responsibility of the school staff and that administration to think, okay, outside of these walls, how can we get creative to ensure that our students see something that we don't have?
Any clue how important blue-collar workers are? If we didn't have awesome blue-collar workers, our lives would cease to exist. This is the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades Podcast. Debunking myths and shining a spotlight on the unsung heroes of our economy. We'll talk about everything from plumbing and electrical work to welding and beyond. Because let's face it, these are the backbone of our infrastructure. We'll talk about the skilled trades gap and uncover the countless benefits of pursuing a path in the trades. This is the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades Podcast. And now your host, a passionate advocate for the trades, this is Andrew Brown.
Joining us is Kate Sinimo, the Executive Director of Explore the Trades, a nonprofit organization committed to bridging the technical talent gap in the service trades of plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical. Since 2017, Kate has been at the helm of Explore the Trades, driving initiatives that connect students, educators, and businesses, ensuring that the next generation is well-informed and prepared for fulfilling careers in the trades. Under her leadership, the organization has launched innovative programs like skill labs in schools, developed impactful educational resources, and forged powerful industry partnerships. Welcome, Kate, to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I never hear about a guidance counselor telling a student, you know, you're really good with your hands. Do you ever think about being a plumber, electrician, or welder? And I almost feel like those conversations are never happening because the information is not there. But Explore the Trades is using their poster kits to tell a different story and share the career path of plumbing, HVAC, and electrical. And I know some of you who are not looking at video can't see the poster in the background, but I have it kind of here. How did that whole poster come about and how is that affecting sort of the industry, what you're seeing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having it up. I appreciate it. I noticed it right away when we logged on today. You know, Andrew, to your point about those conversations not happening, I would estimate that you and I are about the same age, right? And I would venture a guess that you and I both in middle school, high school, we were around shop class of some feature, right? Whether it was auto body or wood shop or drafting or something, you and I had the opportunity to be around that. And to your point, that's not happening anymore. And I think if you were to rewind the tape a little bit, we could probably see the exodus of shop class taking place in the early 2000s. When the conversation was really, hey, you want to be successful after high school graduation, here's what you need to do. Everyone's got to do 4-year college, university. And I think that stigma that you and I are familiar with, that millions of people are familiar with, that if you didn't choose that path, you weren't smart enough, you know, you were looking at a dead-end career, which of course we know now in hindsight, of course that's not true. And to help dispel those stigmas, those perceptions, and then to ensure that professionals like school counselors and teachers at the school level have what they need to have those educated conversations, that's where the posters came in, right? We wanted to create at a glance, what does your career path look like? in one of those three trades, after you have your apprenticeship, it's not only I'm going to be a technician in the field my whole career. You certainly could be. But if you were ready to take on other responsibilities, to look at what else you could do with that trade, here's an example of what that path might look like. So in a nutshell, that's what we wanted to do. That's what we wanted to do with fundraised dollars, because we are a nonprofit. We want to make sure that those contributions are coming in and we can put them out to the world at large. We want to make sure that we can make a difference in the lives of those students coming up, right? And for generations behind them. But we want to make sure that those in the school system who are underinformed or uninformed have what they need to start those conversations.
So I don't remember a shop class in my school. The only thing I remember doing was actually building a bridge and putting a weight under it to see how much it would, before it would break. That's the only time that I remember doing something in some type of woodworking shop. Honestly, the only kind of woodworking type of shop that I took was in camp. And we built this wooden knock hockey set. And you had to play the shop owner, the person who worked with us. And if you didn't win, he got to keep your knock hockey set. But if you won, you get, and I remember, oh my God, I was stressing out so much. Like, and it came out to like 5-4 and I won. I was like, and I got my knock hockey set. It's the only time I really remember of doing some type of woodworking shop. But a lot of that kind of just got removed over the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And it's almost like you look around like, wow, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. What happened? And I remember, you know, middle school, we had shop class, right? So we did drafting, we made CO2 cars, you know, we did some sort of woodworking project. And I grew up in a rural area in North Iowa. So one of the classes we had available was ag class, right? You had shop class and you brought in agriculture to the mix. And I sort of think back, you know, 25 years ago when I graduated high school, and you think about, and this is, I think, why I feel so energized about the topic, you know, in the space that you and I are both in, is that you think about your classmates in high school who kind of got a bad rap, right? Because they just weren't made for traditional sit at a desk all day. That's not how they learn. And I think about those classmates that I had, and I think of where they are now and how successful they are. And it's like, you know what? Those are the kids, right, who would certainly benefit from having more opportunities to learn with their hands. And I think the education system, I think they removed a lot of those classes, I think for a number of factors, that it's really expensive to operate, to keep up with budget, equipment, tools, consumables, things like that. But then there's probably an opportunity where those teachers who taught those classes for 25, 30 years, they retire. Oh, shoot, they retired. We'll just have that class cease to exist. In my opinion, I think there's a couple of different factors there that sort of helped us get as a country with skilled labor to where we are.
Career exploration has been a challenge in school. So let's say I do want to go into some type of trade. I want to be a plumber, a welder, electrician, a carpenter. Maybe I know somebody who in my family, or it was a friend, or even someone on my block. The issue I see is that there's no one to turn to in school. And even if you do turn to your guidance counselor, I'm hoping that they would redirect you to someone who can give you some more information. But again, I don't know if that's really happening. What I do see is that even if that person is good with their hands, who has a technical ability, sometimes they bypass that and they actually get shoved into the system. I talked about this before. And that they actually go to school and they're just not happy in school. And they spend a lot of money, they sign a loan. And after 4 years, they come out more lost out of school when they were in school. And that's me. I went to school for 4 years and switched majors 4 or 5 times. And I was lost. There was no one taking me by the hand and telling me what to do. But again, going back to, if I knew that I wanted to be in the trades, I don't feel we're doing a good enough job of giving some type of resources to kids, unless you're in some sort of vocational school, tech school of some sort, but standard school. How do we fix that? What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, I think that's a million-dollar question that now we're all playing catch up with. from our perspective at Explore the Trades, we want to help fill that knowledge gap for a lot of people, whether it's students or parents, educators, whoever that might be. To your point about if I'm in high school and I'm really interested in welding or I'm really interested in carpentry, whatever that vocation is, whatever that trade is, I think it's the responsibility of the school staff and that administration to think, okay, outside of these walls, how can we get creative to ensure that our students see something that we don't have? But then on the flip side of the coin, I think on behalf of industry, things are going to have to be different than what they were 10, 15 years ago. You're not just putting an ad in the paper anymore. It's really getting that recruiting, that talent seeking process in place early so that by the time the student does graduate from high school, they're going to remember, oh yeah, I remember Andrew was here from the local plumbing shop. And that was really interesting. I wonder if I can call him. And I think it's, you know, especially in a community, you want to ensure that the talent stays there. There's all these benefits with the economic impact, things like that. So if there's a way, and Explore the Trades can help facilitate some connections, if there's a way for us to be the matchmaker or for schools to matchmake with industry in their community, I think that's where we're going to see the benefit. Because again, schools don't have the budget to have all of these classes. But if I know someone down the road who has a $5 million, $10 million, you know, $1 million company revenue, what a great way to expose the students to something different.
So do you think students should reach out to local businesses about, I want to be a welder. And I know there are 5 or 6 local welding shops. Should I be driven to be like, you know what, I'm going to take the bull by the horns and I am going to walk into these shops or call these shops and say, hey, I'm looking to get into this field. Can somebody help me? Is that a way to maybe get somebody interested?
Absolutely. I think at this stage in the game, from a business perspective, if I was a business owner and I had a student, if I had a young person come in and say, you know what, I'm really interested in this. Do you have an opportunity for an internship or just to come and watch some of the employees, the technicians for a little bit? I would love that. I mean, you have a young person with that initiative and that drive, but then, you know, for the business, what a great way for me to be a part of the community. And if word gets out that I'm able to demonstrate the skill and to educate those students on what this business and this trade is all about, I mean, it's a win-win. They'll want to know by the time I graduate, am I going to college or am I getting a job or is it an apprenticeship? Let's do some education on what that is. I think there's just a lot of opportunities for them to find it and to seek it out in their community.
I was speaking to Joshua O'Neill, who I had in the podcast a handful of weeks ago, and he's a welding instructor, and he had a student named Leo, and I've brought this up in another podcast, but I just want to highlight it, that he was a really driven, aggressive individual who wanted to succeed. And it turns out that Joshua knew of some work that was going on around the school. And there was a connection made to the superintendent. I forget exactly who it was on the job site. But it was Leo who it took about 6 or 7 tries to actually reach out to this gentleman to try to get the job. Now, he could have given up on the 1st or 2nd try. But after 6 or 7 different tries, he was aggressive enough and driven enough to actually get the job. Sometimes I don't feel that's there for an individual because they're looking for instant gratification. They want it right away. And sometimes you need to figure out different ways to get in front of people. Not only do you need the technical skills, but you need the soft skills and the other portion of this to really make an impression on somebody to get hired.
Oh, 100%. How impactful was his, I don't want to say aggressiveness, but persistence. I have heard it called polite persistence, right? Just here I am, you know, don't forget about me. And I think that as a business owner, that's a great example of character that you would want on your team. I think if we can somehow showcase what that give and take looks like between education and industry, and to uncover, you know, with this CTE movement, with the career in tech ed movement that is starting to be implemented more so in schools across the country. That's education for the businesses to say, hey, you know what? We can make an impact on that. And it won't cost you, you know, Mr. and Ms. School Administrator, anything. But, you know, like, we can have the guest speakers. We can bring an example of what this trade might look like. I think there's education opportunities for both sides of how to make that work.
Last week, we are on the Skilled Trades Advisory Council together, STAC, and I wasn't unfortunate at the meeting. I was actually at the Williamson College of the Trades in Pennsylvania, where they take 300 kids from tough backgrounds and they put them through a 3-year program, and they come out tuition free. It's free room and board. And at the end, there's about 75 students, there's 150 companies that actually come and fight for these 75 students. And some of them are leaving with multiple job offers, making $60,000, $70,000 with no debt. I watched the commencement and I watched these kids walk down and graduate, and they were so thrilled, and they're coming out with no debt. I wish they had 15 schools around the country that can do that. It was such an impact on me and what I saw with those kids, because they are super excited to be in the trades, but also not even have to start with mounds of debt.
I'm laughing a little bit because I imagine that if you and I were 25 years younger, right? Like, I'm going to graduate from this. I don't have any student loans to pay back. Can you imagine as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old young adult making that money? Right? Like, what a dream come true. I remember my first salary out of college was $24,500, you know? So I think they have it made. I think young adults have it made if this is what they want to pursue when they're out of high school. There's just the need to emphasize it, which is what you're doing, which is what we're doing, which is what STAC is doing, you know, from all of our different corners of the industry. And, you know, we're starting to get loud, right? Which is good.
How do we better connect with younger kids out there? And because I do a lot of social media, I get a lot of comments, and a lot of the pushback is wages. And I did a post today on LinkedIn. It's all about wages. It's not enough money. I'm not going to put the time in. I'm not going to put in 10 years of this to make really, and this is not me talking, this is individuals talking, that it's not enough money here and I can go a different direction. How do you push back on that and really sort of bust that whole, you know, myth of, no, that's not really accurate?
I think from the different people I've been able to meet in the trades and technicians and install, you know, just from various pieces of the business. And the majority of them are young men. You know, a couple young ladies here and there, as we're starting to see an increase of women enter the trades. And what's really interesting is they will openly share their story about how when they started, they were able to buy a home. You know, when they got married and they had children, it was a big milestone for them to be able to take the kids on vacation, wherever that was, because whatever their background was, maybe they didn't have the opportunity to do that growing up. And now there's that huge sense of accomplishment that not only are they taking care of their families well, but they're achieving things that preceding generations in their family didn't have the chance to do. And I think that, of course, the money helps, right? I mean, that's always a great side effect. But I think that a lot of the people with the character they have that are in these trades take pride in being able to solve problems for their neighbor in their neighborhood. So I think there's the sense that, look what I did with my hands today and I fixed this or I installed that. There's so many different factors that layer into that, yeah, the money is great, but guess what I did today? I'm going to drive by that house and know that I put in a new water heater today. Or on the commercial side, if I helped build the new building or the new Target that's right down the street, you know, I did that. So I'm kind of like you. I kind of balk at those comments a little bit. And then I think, well, you just don't know. You just don't have the luxury of knowing, and that's our job. I think there's a number of different factors. I think people need to take the time to really be curious about what these trades are.
So I had a HVAC problem in my house. The AC's conked out. Me, I am sort of handy and I try to see what I can do, but there's a limit, obviously, where I'm just like, it's time to call somebody in the trades. It turned out that upstairs in the air handler, one of the pipes burst and there was water in the tray and it flipped the switch and then it wouldn't try to turn the thermostat on. It didn't get power. So I ended up calling somebody who I know. I was happy to pay $225 an hour, knowing that my AC, when it was 95 degrees out, that they got it back on within the hour. They got the water out. And here's the kicker too. He had to go into the attic and he had to go down the ladder and go back. I'm like, let me help you. I feel bad. No. That's my job. I'm doing this. Don't worry about it. I was like, oh my God. And he was nice about it as well. And he took the extra time. And even he's even telling me, he's like, look, I don't want to spend extra time over here because I don't want to waste more of time. So you're not going to pay more. When I Venmo'd him the money, I was super excited. Not only that, it was great customer service. He got right on it. It was fulfilling for him because he saved the day because it was hot as anything in here and the AC was turned back on. That's a sense of accomplishment and fulfillment.
I think that's 100 times over every time you have a technician come to the house. Well, and of course, we've all seen the cartoons, right? The comics and the jokes about the tradespeople, things like that. And I think it's just interesting because everyone at some point, when you own a home and there's maintenance and, it's never a call that you want to make because you're out of hot water. You know, it's just to pick something. I think it's a reminder that when that professional comes to your home and they take care of it, you are paying for the skill set and the knowledge that they can fix it just like that. And they know what to do. If we don't have those people, we don't live as comfortably as we do. Until you have to, go a couple days without hot water, which we've had to do at our house, you just think, wow, I'm paying for hot water, I'm paying for clean water, but I am paying for the knowledge to make it convenient again for me. And I think that there's the residential side, and then you think about, well, how do these trades impact commercial and healthcare? I don't want to talk about it, but I think with COVID, everyone got a real-time look to what all of these men and women do so that we're comfortable. And that was a big learning opportunity for everybody.
And they're essential. There are big projects like kitchen projects and stuff. When the economy starts to slow down, there is certain luxury you don't want to add on addition to your house. You don't want to spend as much, but you still need to fix stuff around the house. You still need to fix your plumbing. You still need to fix your HVAC. There are things that go on in the house that you just need to do. So I always feel that the trades, there's never not work to do. It's a matter of which work that you want to do. I always feel that they can pick and choose the jobs they want. I see this quite often, especially in my area, in my neighborhood. Sometimes an electrician doesn't call you back right away, or a plumber doesn't call you back because they have a lot of other work. They can maybe make a little bit more over here, a little bit more over here. But I don't want to be in a situation where 40% retire over the next 5 or 10 years. We don't replenish those. And now it's a few weeks of my AC down and it's the middle of the summer. I'm like, oh my God, now what? I don't want to be in that situation. But I think the general public kind of knows about the skills gap and knows about the shortage, but not to the extent of really what's happening. Start looking at those numbers. That's why I'm always beating the drum about the trades and the shortage of the trades and replenishing the trades, because I want a wider audience to really understand that if we don't put the time and effort, if we're just reactive and not proactive, that we're going to be in a really bad spot in the next handful of years.
I think that's a good point. And I think using the air conditioner as an example, it's one of those things. And it doesn't matter if it's the trades or something else that impacts your convenience and your level of comfort right at home, until it's just like your car. Like, oh, now the shop is busy and how am I going to get around? It's the same thing with your air conditioner. I don't think people grasp the magnitude of it until it's right in front of them. And it's funny because, you're reading these articles that are being published from educational journals, and they're talking about soon hitting an enrollment cliff in the US because of birth rates and how many people are choosing not to go to college. Okay, well, college is a business. You know, how are we dependent on tuition revenue? So now they're predicting this enrollment cliff. And I sort of think, well, the trade sort of had an enrollment cliff years ago. So as much as you want to get people in now, to your point about people retiring, I think the stat says that for every 5 people retiring, 2 people are entering. So I think it's the constant talking point of we have to start early. It doesn't matter how old the student is. I think there's opportunity to say, when we talk about water in our science class, why don't we talk about different jobs that work with water? And public health is the way it is because of clean water. You know, thanks to the discovery with, you know, plumbers and clean water and how germs, how they travel, right? How do we get creative to talk about that? You must remember, please tell me I'm not the only one that remembers, but the cartoon of the magic school bus. You know, they go on different lessons and they kind of go inside something. And I think, well,
I used to read my kids those books.
Yeah. It's sort of the same thing of if you can magic school bus it inside of a wall, you would see all these wires that make sure the light turns on. You know, so it's almost like look behind the walls and you can see all of the cool pipes and the wires that make sure we're comfortable and we have hot water. And I think you can easily exemplify these jobs with young people, you know, start in elementary and, you know, discover how you can talk about it. I think there's a variety of ways to make it interesting.
You know, they say plumbers save more lives than doctors. You go either way on that, but with water and everything they do and filtration, and if you really think about it, yeah. I mean, here in the U.S. versus other third world countries, I mean, it's a big deal to have clean water. There is pushback, I feel, from parents that even if kids are interested in the trade, sometimes parents are saying, whoa, wait a second, we want you to go to college. We want you to get a 4-year degree. What are you going to do with that? On top of, you have people who are actually in the trades, parents who are saying, I'm working hard so you don't have to go into the trades and get your hands dirty. What are you seeing on your end with parents? Are they still kind of pushing back? Are you seeing that sort of release a little bit and not be as big of an issue?
From our perspective, I think that the information that we have is being well received by educators at the school level, elementary, middle school, high school. With parents, this is through work, but this is also sort of casual conversation that I have with social networks, things like that. And I think as much as parents have said, sometimes I think it's for their own reputation, right? I want to say that my child is at XYZ University. However, I think that with a number of factors, it's the rising cost of tuition, you know, availability of jobs. Parents are more receptive to going into a hands-on trade. Again, I think it's hindsight because those of us who have children in elementary and middle school, sometimes high school, hindsight, you think, oh man, if I could have done it over again, maybe I wouldn't have gone to college. I think the facts are pretty blatant now where you think, yeah, that math does not work to the favor of my child. And I want to make sure that my child is successfully employed, earning a good wage, can have the opportunity to start their adult life. And so I think the pendulum is starting to swing a little bit more rather than, oh my gosh, I've heard this a number of times. Oh yeah, the trades are so important, but not for my child. My child's going over here. So, and again, it's not that, you know, from our seat, it's not that we're saying college is bad. Don't go to college. Would never say that. I think it's just, you know, now you have the chance to discover all of these careers that we didn't talk about, that you may not know about. So that's the point where, you know, we're starting to see some growth.
I do feel that Generation Z is becoming almost the tool belt generation with the Wall Street Journal. In that article. So all these articles and specials, there was the micro special on the trades. It was Micro and a bunch of other people who were in the trades. And they were talking about the pushback from people on the trades. And they were talking about all the benefits of the trades. So all these different articles, shows that are coming out, and especially with the information that even trade schools were up last year, is a good indicator that it's going in the right direction, that avocation actually is working. The work that you're doing, the work I'm doing and other programs are doing, we're starting to make an impact.
I think we're starting to get loud enough where it can't be ignored anymore. And again, I think you look at what happened during COVID. I'm not pigeonholing just HVAC, electrical, and plumbing, even though that's what we talk about. I think there's more to it. I think there's welding. I think there's carpentry and construction. During COVID, what did you need? I needed a haircut. Well, too bad. Just think of those professionals, right? I think there's a wide world of skilled trades that we can't do life without. Plain and simple. I think that was a hard lesson we all learned.
Sometimes schools don't have the budget, as you mentioned, to have these programs. Your partnership with Ferguson and the Skills Labs is providing equipment grants to schools. Can you share a little bit about that partnership? How many of these skill labs are out there and what that's doing for the industry?
This is a partnership we established with Ferguson 3 years ago. Out of a conversation, and we said, wouldn't it be great sometime if we could do this? And so it was just one of those pie in the sky ideas. So every year, and we tie this to the academic calendar, every year for the past 3 years, we've been able to provide, as what you said, equipment grants to middle schools and high schools around the country, meaning that if they are looking to either start an HVAC or plumbing program, we have equipment grants set aside for those new spaces. If there's an existing class at a school, we also have funds set aside to support an existing class that might need new equipment, things of that nature. And this is, again, to your point, we want to be able to help build that next generation. So how can we do that effectively? In that it's expensive, we want to help with that. So we want to make sure that those students, freshmen, sophomores, whatever, if they can have the chance to even look at the equipment, take the cover off and even see inside of it, what a great way for them to start understanding how their home works or how a building works. Ferguson has been an extremely generous partner in this program. And in total, over 3 years, we've impacted 26 schools, 24 high schools, and 2 middle schools, and over 2,000 kids. So the fact that, you know, right out of the gate, we have 2,000 plus, you know, who knows how many years after that, will be starting their trades education on this equipment is really exciting. We'll actually kick it off for a fourth year on October 1st. So we'll have more information about that.
Do you also bring in the person to run the skills lab, or that's the responsibility of the school?
The instructor and the curriculum are the responsibilities of the school.
How long does it take to get up and running sort of a skills lab once the grant is approved? And how long does that typically take?
Every year, we've announced the recipients on National Skilled Trades Day, which is exciting, which is a great way to celebrate. With the successful programs that we've seen launch, that we've been able to launch well, the applicant schools, they have their curriculum identified, they have their instructor identified, and in some cases, they've had ad hoc partnerships with local industry. And now, because they're getting a jumpstart with equipment, they're able to reallocate funds, you know, for curriculum, other tools to get that program launched in the fall. So I would say for the schools that have everything in order, they're able to get equipment during the summer and be able to open the doors to the program in the fall for those students.
It's almost like a shop class.
How about that?
That's amazing. You know, your partnership with Ferguson, you know, they are one of the largest plumbing suppliers in the country. And it's great that they are doing that. They're giving back. And these kids are actually learning a skill that, again, these shop classes are just not even in the school. So at least gives the kids the ability to work with their hands. And that increases the percentage of maybe a kid being interested in a trade and might turn into a path into the trades.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were just at, myself and some representatives from Ferguson, we were just at a skill lab school about 2 weeks ago. It's Milford Mill Academy out of Baltimore, and they were a recipient last year. So we were able to visit the school this spring, and it was, if we could replicate the instructor of that program all the way across the country, it'd be fantastic. It was great to hear from him. It was great to meet all of the students who were in the class. The principal came in, so we were able to meet her. But it was really exciting because the students just built two bathroom platforms. So they installed the shower, the tub, the toilet, the sink, and they were able to show us how everything worked. You know, they were able to dump water in and make sure that nothing leaked, right? So you could tell that they were really proud of themselves for putting that together. And casual conversation, like, oh yeah, you know, Mr. Smith has told me about what I can do after high school and all of these companies that are hiring. So they definitely have their eye on, you know, the next thing when they're done.
It's all also about the teacher themselves and getting kids engaged. And I'm thinking about Evan in Philly and what he's doing for young adults, where he's teaching them skills and they're working with power tools and they're learning safety. It's unreal. I wish, again, that program was pushed out across the country as well. That too is amazing. So there's teachers out there doing great work out there and showing these kids that you can make a living and do well in the trades.
I follow Evan on LinkedIn too, and I just think he is doing phenomenal work. You know, because all the videos he posts and the photos are awesome. You have these, like you said, you have young adults, students who are learning power tools and just the confidence that they now have. And I'm looking at, you know, photos that he's posted of the young ladies in his class. And I think, yeah, just look at them go. You can tell they're really proud of themselves. He's amazing. And all those instructors out there who were probably in the field and then wanted to now pass that knowledge on to the next generation is very commendable.
I try to highlight those individuals the best I can and share them because a lot of people just don't even know it even exists out there. And then I did share a post on LinkedIn and a lot of people like coming and messaging me and DMing me. Wow, I didn't even know that he even existed. How do I get involved? What do I need to do? And it's great that teachers like that are giving back to students and sharing what can be done and the success that you can have sort of in the trades. So what's next for Explore the Trades? What's coming down the pipeline for you guys?
Well, we're actually in the process right now of putting together new content, again, for our friends in the school world, really targeting this time. And this is sort of based on interest and questions and demand that we're fielding from elementary school teachers, principals, things like that, those folks. We're putting together a series of kids posters. Kind of the one that you have behind you is really more towards older students, you know, 16, 17, 18. But what we are working on right now is a visual illustration of, you know, who keeps my home comfortable? Who makes the water run in my house? So we are working with an illustrator to put together these posters that, you know, is kind of a cutaway of a house and not getting into too much detail. You know, it's ages 5 through 11, but highlighting a water heater. What does a water heater do? What does a thermostat do? You know, so really taking some, I would say, basic components of a system, calling them out so they can see in my home, oh, these are the different pieces that make it run. So we're in the process of working on some kids' posters. We're also in the process of taking the poster that you have behind you, those series of handouts, and having a Spanish version available for any ESL students that are in school. And we want to make sure that they have same access to materials as well. So we know that there's a large ESL population and we want to make sure that they're well educated about these trades as well.
That's actually a really good idea about the cutout of a house and what the trades do and that younger kids can see and wow, you know, this is what an HVAC person does or this is what a plumber does. I think that's great. That's actually really good. I'd like to see that when that comes out because the posters like behind me are obviously for the older kids, but still those are extremely impactful. Can you share any statistics of how many schools sort of across the country these posters are in?
Yeah, in total, I would say for about, almost 3 years now, we've sent out over 3,000 of those kits, of those poster kits. And of course, there's a couple copies in every school district, but we are sitting at somewhere between 1,300 and 1,400 school districts around the country. So when we're looking at, that's kind of a stat out of curiosity that we're keeping track of to say, how many public school districts do we have materials in? So we're sitting at 11-12% of school districts in the country.
That's a big number. That's a big number. That's impact. If you want to get the posters, how do you do that?
So again, because of the funds that we receive, contributions, we're able to put that out into educational pieces like those posters. We have a link on our website, which is explorethetrades.org, where you can request a kit to be sent to your school. We have also had companies request them and use them as part of their recruiting efforts. So we've seen contractors take them to home and garden shows, to career fairs at various high schools, which is good because we want them to be the expert in their community. However we can help them succeed, that's what we're doing.
And how do people reach out to you directly? What are the best social networks or places to find you?
Yep. So our website, explorethetrades.org, and you can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube with the handle of Explore the Trades. And my contact information, the contact information of my team, is on our website. So anyone is welcome to reach out.
Definitely grab the posters. I have 3 or 4 of them. They are great and they are impactful. And if you could see the percentage wise of how many schools have them around the country, Explore Trades, ever since I found your organization, it's been amazing to see your evolution. It's been great to actually be side by side with you on the Skilled Trades Advisory Council. And it's just, we're making an impact. We're making an impact slowly. So I appreciate everything that you're doing. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Andrew.
And thank you to our listeners, where our mission is to flip the script on the blue collar skilled trades and make them cool. Once again, we'll see you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades podcast. Sure, nothing wrong with going to college, but there's just as much honor and need for people to be blue-collar workers that are the very backbone of our infrastructure. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, follow Andrew Brown on LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and hit the website at www.andrewbrowntrades.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.